If you look at the life of David, before he enters a battle, you know what he does? He inquires of the Lord to hear his voice. God, should I go after the Amalekites? Should I go after the Philistines? And sometimes God says, yes, go after them. Sometimes he says, no. Don't fight that battle. No, don't you do it. Moses, should we go through the land of the Edomites? God said, don't do it. Don't do it. They're afraid of you. There'll be problems. Go around another way.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope. Yesterday, we began a message where we learned that in life, there are battles around every corner. Chances are you're either in one right now, you've just come through one, or you're about to go into one. Well, the good news is that you don't have to fight every battle. In fact, God doesn't even want you to. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Choosing Your Battles.
And then number six, complaining and negativity will open the door to the enemy. That's straight out of 1 Corinthians 10:10. It says, don't grumble as some did in the wilderness and were destroyed by the destroyer. You see, if you're around people who are chronic complainers, do you think it'll affect you? Yeah, you'll start to do the very same thing. Your whole identity will be wrapped up in finding problems with everybody else and fault with everybody else. That'll be your identity almost. And some people, the only thing they have in common at breakfast is that they're talking about everybody's problems and warts and zits and pimples. You need to get out of that because negativity will open the door to the enemy. Don't hang around them. So well, what if I have friends like that? Here's my advice. Fire them. Get away from them. And what if you're doing that? Change. Repent and change. And start thinking right. And then, number seven, love God, love people, in that order. Where'd that come from? The greatest commandment of the Bible. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. But there's a reason that God put it in that order. Because you see, if it's love people and love God, then David would have succumbed to his buddies that said, run him through. Oh yeah, because I want to be your buddy, so let's go ahead and do it. And then realize later, oh no, and then have to suffer the collateral damage. No, he loved his men, but he loved God first. And so he stood up against his friends and said, no, can't do it. Love God, love people in that order. Number eight, never serve God out of anger. Oh, this is a good one. Well, you'll like this one. And do you remember what kept Moses out of the promised land? He was surrounded by grumblers and complainers. Did it affect him? Absolutely. They were complaining because they didn't have water. So you know what God said? I'm going to bring you before a big old rock, and I just want you to speak to the rock, and water's going to come out. Well, Moses went there with his staff, and he got mad at the people because they were grumbling so much. So he said, do I have to be with you all the time to try to figure out your complaints and your problems all the time? I'm sick and tired of this. And he took his rod and beat on the rock. I am sick and tired of having to provide for you. Well, water came out. And then God said, psst, Mo, come into the vice principal's office. What? I asked you to speak to the rock and you beat the snot out of it. Well, I was mad. You will never serve me out of anger. And because you did that, you will not go into the promised land. Oh, I read that and I thought, man, Moses, you never got a hold of the full promises of God. Oh, yeah, you served. Yeah, you were a Christian, but you never got into the fullness of what God promised for you as a server and as a Christian. Man, I said, I'm so glad I'm not like Moses. And the Lord said, oh, yeah? What about last night? I thought, well, what about last night when you were washing dishes? My wife didn't wash the dishes. I washed them. I served. So, yeah, how? You see, I don't like dirty dishes, just this penchant that I have, stacking up in the sink. So I was there and I looked at that and I said, where's that woman that I married? She was watching TV. I thought, well, I can't believe this. I'll wash the dishes, and I'll wash the stinking dishes. And I filled up with suds, and I started washing. But when I wash dishes like that, I'll wash the dishes like bang, you know. So, bang! My wife heard the closets banging and the cupboards banging, the dishes about crashing. She came and she said, oh, honey, I'll do the dishes. No, I'll do the dishes. It's all right. No, go watch TV. I'll wash these dishes. I'll wash them all. Wash. And the Lord said, do you remember that? I said, oh, yeah. He said, why'd you strike the rock? Why did you serve me out of anger? Because you were serving, but you were serving out of what? Yeah. You ask your husband to go to church. Gets in the car, slams the door. Gets behind the wheel. Come on! You wanted me to go to church? I'll go to church. But at least you can be on time. Get in here. Oh, excuse me, honey. I was putting on my makeup. You need more than makeup. Get in here. Close that door. I'll go to church. You want me to go to church? I'll go to church. Oh, you don't have to go to church. No, I'll go to your church. Just be on time. Ring, ring, ring. Hello. Oh, New Hope. Oh, you need help setting up. Right now. Okay. I can't believe that church, New Hope. They could have called me 2 weeks ago. Now they have an event. They want me to come down now. I'm a Levite, yeah, but they could have at least respected me enough to call me 2 weeks ago, 2 days ago. Now it's 2 minutes ago. And they want me down there. I'll go. No, 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 shut up. I'll go. I'll go. We'll serve at your church. Yeah, I'll get it done. I'll be back. Can't believe this gone fun. This is crazy. You know why you're laughing? Because your consciences are stricken. But we all do that, don't we? In different things. Yeah, I'll take care of the kids. Yeah, go play with your friends. Go, I'll stay home. Yeah, sure, yeah, I'll be slave labor. That's what I am for you. You marry me as a slave. Yeah, I'll watch your kids for you. Just don't have no more kids. You're not buying more kids. And we do what a mother should do. We do what a dad should do, but we do it out of anger. And we strike rocks all the time. And we think we're exonerated when God says, no, you can serve like, you can be a husband like that, but you'll never enter into the fullness of the promises that I designed for your marriage to have. Ah, you'll still be married, but it won't be that fun because you'll never enter the promised land. You understand? And when I realized that after God revealed that to me, my conscience was stricken. And I thought, if I'm going to wash dishes, I got to wash it out of a good heart. If I'm going to clean, I got to clean out of a good heart. I can't serve God out of anger. Now, do I do it perfectly all the time? No, you will transgress. But if you don't have those lot lines, you won't know that you did. You have to draw those guiding principles. And you have to have a healthy conscience. You say, well, are there any guidelines to the guidelines? Uh-huh. Would you write it in your little bullet there? It has to be biblical. Make sure it's biblical. That there's a foundational scripture behind it. Honor those to whom honor is due. Got it. Love God, love people, in that order. Got it. That comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Got it. So there's a scripture. Negativity. I even have my wife, because I know that you can say 1 Corinthians 10:10, but at the same time, I had my wife write down these little notes around our house, and it says, never is heard a discouraging word. I say, honey, we don't want discouraging words in our house. Let's just kind of keep them uplifting. You say, is that from the Bible? No, it's from a country western song. Never is heard a discouraging word. The skies are not cloudy all day. But it could be scripture. Never is heard a discouraging word. Well, that's a guiding principle, but are they biblical? They have to be. Otherwise, it's just nice sayings, but it's not grounded or supported by God's word. It's got to be biblical. And when David said that I'm not going to run Saul through, it was based on you give honor to those whom honor is due. Salute the rank. That's why the scripture says in Isaiah 40 and verse 8, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God abideth forever, forever. That's the boundaries that we don't move. It's a written word. So when you're choosing your battles, the first thing is you have to have guiding principles already established before you enter that battle, so it gives you a conscience to help guide you. Because God might say sometimes, don't do it. And you'll remember a scripture. But he had more than that. Not only did he have principles that he had established, but there's something else. If you look at the life of David, before he enters a battle, you know what he does? He inquires of the Lord to hear his voice. God, should I go after the Amalekites? Should I go after the Philistines? And sometimes God says, yes, go after them. Sometimes he says, no. Don't fight that battle. No, don't you do it. Moses, should we go through the land of the Edomites? God said, don't do it. Don't do it. They're afraid of you. There'll be problems. Go around another way. So God is speaking when you enter battles. So would you write down number two? Before you enter a battle, develop a heart to seek him, not second, not last, seek him first. God, what do we do here? Now this takes a long time because you could be flooded with emotions and you've got to stop. Lord, is this something I need to embark on or just recede from? Yeah, but I'm right. Yeah, David was right too, but I told him not to do that. Because you see, there's one thing I forgot in my guiding principles, and that is this last one. I'll go run back to it because I'm just reminded about it now. Sometimes it's better to be kind than right. I'm right. Be kind. But I can win this. Shut up. Be kind. But I'm right. Yes, be kind. Husbands, here's an example. It's better to be kind than right. Your wife comes home with a new outfit from Ross. She puts it on. Honey, does this outfit make me look fat? Be kind, not right. Doesn't matter if you're right. Be kind. Because you will die on that hill. Mark my words. You will die. Sometimes it's better to be kind than right. But develop a heart to seek him first. Before any battle, hear his voice. It's in 1 Samuel 30. And by the way, 1 Samuel 30, 24 that we just read today, it's part of our devotions. You will have just read through that. 1 Samuel 30, you're coming to. And so I wanted to take something out of our devotions in this Divine Mentor series so that you can see that as you'll read, God can speak to you a ton of stuff. Now, I'm just halting the engine here, or the train, and unpacking this for you. But as you're reading your devotions, you understand how much God can be speaking to you. And so what I just shared with you came out of my devotions. And so as you slow down and read through devotions, you're going to come to the 30th chapter. You'll start to understand. Things start to fit together. David is inquiring of God. The Amalekites had attacked his camp. And so let's read it together. Go. David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? Pursue them, God answered. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. God has his word ready for those of you that are seeking him. If you're not seeking him, no use him talking to you. If you don't have any intent on obeying him, why should he give you instruction? But he has instruction reserved for you. And I need you to hear this very carefully. The scripture says it this way. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not for your calamity, but so that you'll have welfare and a hope. And then it says this. And then you will seek me and you will find me when you seek for me with all your heart. All right. So God has words for those who seek him with all their heart. Because if I'm not seeking him, why should he reveal anything to me? If I don't want to obey him, why should he give me instruction? But if I am seeking him, he has a word or a direction for me. Listen very carefully. God's word is not reserved from you. God's word is reserved for you. God's word is not hid from you. God's word is hid for you. Because it's only given to those who seek the Lord. Why is God's word hid from me? No, it's hid for you. And if you have a heart to seek him, it's yours. Do I need to hear him? Absolutely. Why? Here's why. The book of Corinthians says this. For although we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we're destroying speculations and every thought raised up against the knowledge of God. In other words, if this is your battle really isn't with your spouse. It's with what God is, with what the devil is trying to do to destroy what God wants for your family. Though we walk in the flesh, that's not really where the battle is. And if you're not careful, you'll engage in a battle with your spouse, and it's really the enemy trying to destroy your future and your children's future. He wants more than one argument. He's playing for keeps. And if we're not careful, we'll engage in this battle and we'll miss the instructions of the Lord. It's sort of like a musician. If you're in an orchestra, you're going to have a score, and you're going to have a stanza, you're going to have the cadence or the rhythm, 3-4 or 4-4, whatever, and then you're going to have the meters. Now, you're going to be playing this, it is written, but at the same time, because we're playing with so many different people, our spouse, our children, our boss, etc., our church, you need to hear the conductor, watch him when he says, stop, and then again. And so you're playing this, but you also need to watch and communicate with a conductor because we have so many others in this orchestra of life. And if we just do our music, you're going to run headlong into everybody else. Or if you're not watching your music and you're just watching him, you're going to be playing wrong notes. You need both. And what I'm trying to say to you, and it's all going to come together, is when you're choosing your battles, you need to have it is written. But you also need to hear the conductor. And that's why David would pray, Lord, should I do this? Should I not do this? I want to encourage you to be seekers of God, to listen for his voice. Get your voice, your ears attuned to his voice, because you need both. You need the music and you need the conductor. And then everything turns into a beautiful symphony. To illustrate this, I'm going to ask the musicians to come out. And you're probably the first weekend congregation to ever see this in the 22 years of New Hope's ministry. We have a fabulous worship team that leads us in worship. And you see them playing, and they're amazing how everything just syncs up together. But what you don't see is this. Fred is our music director. You see him behind the drums? I call that his cave. He's in his cave. And he's not there to relieve himself, but he's in a cave. And I hope not. And he's got next to him, you see to his left, a microphone. Now the microphone is there, not for him to sing. You don't want to hear him sing. But it's actually not connected to you so that you hear. It's connected to these people. They have earphones. And so they're hearing the music, but they're also hearing instructions coming from the music director. Because sometimes they have people like me come up to lead worship, and I am like a B or a C grade worship leader. And sometimes I make a mistake, and I go to the bridge instead of the next verse. And they just whoo, go right with me. And I think, man, I'm good. And it's not because I'm good, I'm actually bad. But Fred hears that mistake and says, bridge now, bang. And they go with me. And I think it's all me. And it's not. Because we have a conductor. You don't hear his voice. You just hear the music. But these who have ears attuned to him hear all the instructions. So this is what we're going to do. For the very first time in New Hope, I'm flipping the PA system, and you're going to hear a little bit of the singers, but you're going to hear his instructions that only these people can hear. But now you're going to hear what maybe an example of what a song would sound like in your earphones to help you be guided. And it will help you to understand that we as God's people will have all kinds of things happening in front of us. But if we attune our ears to the conductor, he's speaking all the time to tell you what to do, what not to do. And if you will seek him, you will find him if you hear him and seek him with all your heart. Here's an example of that. Let's listen.
Chris, this is Pat and G. Amen. Let's splash it. Let's go hands held high. I'll start metronome. 4 clicks and we're in. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Kona, why don't you double the guitar at the verse? Here we go. Verse. Oh.
And your hands formed us. Your heart knows us. We were made
and then,
to
Kona, just drop the octave on the second
you,
half.
Oh Lord, you are.
All the vocals in. 1, 2. Everybody in. Ready. Oh.
Teach us your ways. Show us your grace. We will follow where you lead us. Oh Lord.
To the chorus.
You are.
Chorus, to stop on the 3. 1, 2, 3.
With our heads held high, we will glorify. And with all our lives, we
from here, let's go to the bridge. Chris, can you go to the organ? See, can maybe drop some hold on. Bridge, 2, 3, 4. Let's hit the 4-yana, then we'll re-enter after 2. 1, 2, here we go. 3, 4-yana. Let's go, Scotty. Come on. Good. Let's crescendo it up, and then we'll take it to the outro. Let's keep it forte. Outro, 2, 3, 4. And. Let's take it out. Here we go. Let it fade. Chris, you can take us to pad and just follow pastor.
You're the first to hear this. Let's stand together. But even though this weekend is the first to hear what goes on behind the scenes, that's available to you all the time. If you're part of the band of the Lord. If you're just attendees, you won't hear that. But if we choose to be ambassadors for Christ, you'll start to hear His voice if you tune your ears. Oh yeah, you'll have your music in front of you. It is written. And that has to be established in your hearts long before you encounter any battles. But at the same time, God's speaking to you because He loves you and He's going to guide you through it. And why? Well, because we aren't playing exactly the same score. You're playing a different instrument. You're playing a different one. You come in a different time than I do. But if we're under the conductor of one, then everything starts to fit together. If we're not careful, we start to judge other people because they don't sound like us. They don't look like us. But the Lord says, you don't look at them, you look at me. I'll make sure everything fits. Don't judge one another. Don't get into a battle. Don't die on that hill because you don't understand yet. But if you'll listen to me, everything will come together. And that's the beauty of the body of Christ. And because we live in families and we have neighbors and we have churches, there's so many things going on at one time. That's why we all come together under the direction of one. And we do our part. If we're not careful, it'll become a cacophony of confusing notes. And we get mad at each other. But if we'll keep our eyes on Him and attune our ears to His voice, and make sure that we've got it is written down clear, then what would have been a confused mass of jumbled noises will become a beautiful symphony and an orchestra under the hand of our God. That's the kind of church we want to be. Would you agree with me on that?
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Choosing Your Battles.
We would like to offer you a copy of Pastor Wayne's book, Dream Releasers. In its pages, you will find the inspiration and motivation to realize your full God-given potential. It can be the GPS that will help you find your way from where you are to where you dream of being. For your gift of $10 or more, we will send you a copy of Dream Releasers. You can give online at lifejournal.cc. Again, that's lifejournal.cc. Thank you for your support as we continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ. God bless you.
Until next time, for Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.